how do you know that you made telepathic contact with the animal? I mean, how do you know that they understand you?
Mostly by their response. And I did want to say, as far as when I communicated with Keiko that first time, as sort of a validating point, is, again, I thought what they were doing for him was wonderful. They were going to get him healthy and set him free. He tells me something totally opposite from what I'm thinking.
Did you share that with them?
Pardon me?
Did you share that with them?
I did write them a letter before he left. I admit it was pretty close to when he left, and I knew I couldn't stop it. But I did feel that it was important that Keiko be heard.
Do you have to physically be in the presence of the animal, or can this be done over distance?
This can be done long distance.
Okay, how do you connect that way then?
The same way. In fact, one of the things that some communicators do is use a photograph of the animal. And I need that to make the connection with the animals personally. Some communicators can just go by the location of the animal and the animal's breed and sex and age and color and that type of information. But for me personally, I need to see the animal that I'm connecting with.
How often were you communicating with him?
It varied. It was off and on through the next 5 years, and it varied. There were some times that they were more often, and a lot of times it had to do with what was going on with him, and other times there wasn't a whole lot happening, and what was going on in my life as well, as far as how often I communicated with him.
Did he tell you anything dramatic? I mean, about things going on the ocean or places like that?
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that was interesting is when he was in Iceland, and actually at several different times, I asked two other professional animal communicators, Mary G. Getten and Teresa Wagner, if they would ask the same questions as I was asking, and we all asked him independently so we could compare his answers. I was looking for some validation of the information I was getting. And one of those communications, Teresa Wagner asked him if he was familiar with low-frequency active sonar. And Keiko said that he had not, this was when he was in Iceland, Keiko said he had not experienced it personally, and this is to quote Keiko through Teresa. He said, whales talk all around the world, you know. Whales talk all around the world. The whales know about this crisis. The whales here where I am have not been harmed. The whales in other oceans and in other parts of oceans have been harmed horribly, and they would rather die than live with it. The story is that when this sound occurs, it's like going crazy. Nothing else can be sent or received.
Is that why they've beached themselves? Some say committing suicide, almost mass suicide.
Right, and you know, I checked with Penelope Smith because I thought that would be a question that the people would want to know about. And again, because I connect with individual animals with a photograph, some communicators like Penelope communicate with the whole species or a group of animals. And I asked her specifically what she has heard from the animals. And I'm going to read what she sent me. She said, some are doing so through magnetic pulls to the land, currents or fields on the earth to which they are sensitive and which disorient and pull them off course. Many beach deliberately in places where humans will notice because they are dying from oceanic chemical and noise pollution and wish to alert humans to this imbalance. Whole groups recently have been severely traumatized by naval sonar testing and beach because of ruptures to their hearing and balance organs. And again, that's from Penelope.
You know, I have always wondered if one of the things they were doing, and you just touched on it, if they're trying to let us know that the oceans are dying and, folks, you got to stop doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, and I've always wondered, you know, are they doing that to try to help us, or are they just doing it because they're just fed up? Or, like you said also, they're disoriented, who knows what. But I've always thought about that possibility.
Yep, all of the above.
The orca as an animal, how would you put it on the pecking order of intelligence?
Well, like I said, Keiko was the most aware animal that I've communicated with. And I don't know if that's totally attributed to
the species, drink some
but
water,
they certainly are up way up there on the intelligence, if not above us, you know, depending on your line of thought.
What would you do? How would you compare Keiko to a dolphin, for example?
Well, see, get this, George. Orca whales are technically dolphins.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I didn't either until I got into this with Keiko, but they're
bigger
technically
ones.
A dolphin.
Same family, I guess.
Right,
huh?
Right. And I have not communicated with other dolphins to know how he compares.
Now, tell me some of the most dramatic things he told you.
One thing was, okay, they fly him from the Oregon Coast Aquarium to Iceland in 1998. He's there for 4 years. And during this time, he is, I'm still communicating with him at various times. He basically said he loved the ocean. He loved the way his body felt in the water. But he missed the human contact because they were trying to disconnect him from people. And
they wanted him to be an orca.
Right. They said, you know, disconnect your feelings with people and instead turn your attention towards other whales and, you know, hopefully go out and join another pod of whales. In July of 2002, he was officially set free, and the media reports were Keiko's free and thriving, and I thought, whoa, that's strange, because Keiko had always told me and other communicators that he would always return to be with people and he would never leave them. So I communicated with him, and Keiko says, the first thing he said to me was, if the people won't come to me, I will go to the people. And I thought that was rather ambitious, and I said, Keiko, how are you going to do that when you're in the water? And he said, I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but staying here isn't working either. 3 weeks later, he shows up in Norway swimming with children.
And he seemed happier then.
Right, but that he told me 3 weeks ahead of time he was going to go find people, and he shows up swimming with children is, to me, pretty amazing.
Would you ever toss your kid into a pool next to him?
I don't have kids. I know I would love to. I know the animal rights people would want to shoot me for saying that.
There was a little hesitation.
But I would love to. I know there are some dangers to it, too. And when children were swimming with him, that probably wasn't the safest thing to do just because of his body size.
Could they accidentally crush a kid or would they bite a kid?
George, I couldn't tell you. We're going to talk just about Keiko because he's so different. I certainly wouldn't.
Did he ever tell you if he bit anybody?
I never heard that he ever did anything, intentionally to hurt anybody.
Did he ever lose his temper? Or should I say telepathically lose his temper?
No, he got frustrated sometimes. But actually, considering what he was going through and how unhappy he was for as long as he was awfully patient.